God's word and turn with us, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I figure in a group this size, there's quite a few people that regularly take some kind of vitamin. You know, some of you might take vitamin B, vitamin C, maybe a multivitamin, you know, vitamins with and you've got them in a bottle, you know, or maybe you've got them in your daily little pill containers, you know, already divided up and so you can take them and all that kind of thing. What if I could tell you that there is a spiritual multivitamin that will help you in your Christian life? I mean, I'm so thankful. I look across the room here and some of you are taking to heart the phrase, the proverb, the truism, three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. Okay, three to thrive. When the doors are open, we need to be here. And there's some people who didn't normally attend on Sunday nights, and you're here on Sunday night. Praise God. And there are things we delve into in the Word of God on Sunday nights that we don't get into on Sunday mornings. And we need that. And Thursday night, we really dig deep into God's Word. And you either dig deep into God's Word or you dig deep into a nap. One of the two on Thursday nights. So I encourage you, you know, either one can help. But seriously, I encourage you to be with God's people because there is, Pastor Jim says, there is something that we need from God when we open His Word. Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 8, and then I'll announce the title in just a moment. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. A lot of our battle happens in our mind, in our brain. It happens right there in our thought patterns and all that kind of thing. And so I'm going to ask you today to let the Lord take His searchlight into your heart, into your life. And if there's a way that you could have a spiritual vitamin that will add to your daily devotional with God, your daily prayer time with the Lord, your corporate worship. We're not saying take vitamins and don't ever eat. Okay? We're not saying that at all. No, we're saying eat right and then take a vitamin for extra boost. Okay? And many of us would say that's a good thing to do. And you do that. Spiritually, I believe that we're going to see in God's Word that music is God's multivitamin spiritually, godly Christian music. And I invite you to ask God, if you don't have as part of your daily routine, part of your spiritual input, that you have good godly Christian music in coming into your heart and into your life, you're really missing out on a way to expound on and to put an exclamation point to everything that you read in the Word of God here in the way of preaching and teaching of God's Holy Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for these children. Thank You, Lord, that they are learning to serve You at this young age. Even a child is known by his doings, the Bible says. And I thank You for the workers who faithfully work with these children on Sunday mornings and on Sunday nights and on Thursday nights. Lord, I pray now that You would speak to their hearts, the ones that are in here, the older ones that came back in. Lord, speak to moms and dads, grandparents, and Lord, each and every person. Lord, I pray that You would help us to reach our potential for Jesus Christ. And Lord, to have victory. And Lord, it might be that this is something that's missing in our life. And Lord, I pray that the wonderful gift of music be a blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we think that music is just our own personal entertainment. It's our own choice. It's our own taste. And we're going to do what we want and listen to what we want and all that kind of thing. We do have free choice. We do have a free will. Okay? We do. But I hope you understand, by the time we get done with this, that God is the master musician, that God wants music to be a blessing to our hearts, to draw us closer to Him, but that music also can drive us farther from Him. It can. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." It allows us a vehicle to praise the Lord and to give Him a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to give you five thoughts, and I encourage you to jot them down somewhere. They're very simple things. First of all, number one, music is from God. Music comes from God. I'd like to challenge preachers who... Lucifer, in his unfallen state, everything about him was musical, okay? And so Satan, in his fallen state, yes, he knows a lot about music, but Satan did not create music. God created music. And so this needs to be preached on, because over 1150 times in the Word of God, music or singing is referenced in the Word of God. And to not preach on music when 1150 times it's mentioned, then we're not preaching the whole counsel of God. Music is from God. James 1:17 tells us this. He said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Music is a gift that God gave to us. Now, the birds can chirp, and they can chirp a little melody and things and stuff like that. But I've never heard a bird. Well, I've heard, I guess, what are those birds that kind of can mimic you? What are they called? Minor birds, yes. You know, but I don't hear too many of them, you know, singing Amazing Grace, all four verses and things like that. But they can mimic certain things. By the way, Satan mimics also. But we're the only part of God's creation that can lift praise to the Creator. We're the only ones. Music is from God. We see this because God the Father sings. Zephaniah 3:17. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that God the Father sings among His people and joys over them with singing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He sang. The Bible says that after they had the Lord's Supper, the Bible says afterwards they sang a hymn and then went out in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Spirit of God sings within the believer in the church. He sings through us as we're filled with Him. So every person of the Trinity sings. Music is from God. Number two, moving quickly, music is for good. It's for our good. It's a gift from God. It's enjoyable. Now, I look across the countenances of people, and some people, when the orchestra played that song, some of you were like, "Oh, wow, His eye is on Sparrow, and I know He wants..." You were singing along, and you were enjoying it, like that thing. But you know, because of the busyness and the burdens of being Americans, we're often thinking, in any free time, what do we have to do next? What we need to do and where we need to go, and then worries and concerns and all that kind of thing. Sometimes we just take for granted. Let me tell you something. I don't take for granted what happens in this church musically. I don't take that for granted one bit. Just go to some... No, trust me. This is not happening in every church. Okay? Songs that glorify the Lord, they're done with skill and done with beauty and done to the best of our ability and all that kind of thing. These kids singing, that does not happen in every church. And in churches like us, it just doesn't go on all the time. We are blessed, and music's a gift. And they had that little, you know, soft part. And then they came in, you know, and everybody laughed, and that was wonderful, it was good, and all that kind of thing. It's great. And they're learning great truths that are hiding God's Word in their heart. Music is for good. 1 Samuel 16:23 says, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul," this is King Saul, "that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Remember the story, don't you? Remember the story that King Saul, boy, he had a lot of problems. His problems focused on that he was not following the Lord in his life. He was so talented. He was so gifted. He was so much taller, stronger, bigger. He was a natural leader, everyone thought. But inside, he had no character. Inside, he had no desire to follow God. He just was put in that position because he seemed to have all the right parts. And then, leading God's people, when that didn't go right and God's blessing wasn't upon him, he fell into depression and anger and bitterness and just downright mean. You ever know somebody like that? Don't point. The most miserable person in all the world is not an unsaved person. They're a backslidden Christian. That's the most miserable person in all the world. But when David... Whenever he would come and play on his harp, and doesn't say that he sang. He may have sung, but the Bible doesn't say that he sang. He just played music. You know, music will affect you whether you realize it or not. It will. I could demonstrate that. I don't really need to. But I thought about having him pull up the William Tell Overture. Say, preacher, I don't like classical music. The William Tell Overture. Oh, I think you might recognize it. Do you know that music paints pictures? What did you just see? What you... Lone Ranger! Ho! You know... I did not say one word to you. You got the picture on your own with the music. Music paints pictures in our mind. And you know, the Bible says that he was refreshed. He was refreshed physically. Refreshed physically. He was well emotionally. And the evil spirit departed from him spiritually. This idea of physically being refreshed, it means to breathe freely. Wouldn't you like to just be able to breathe freely? You know, calm, at peace. To breathe freely. He was physically, he was refreshed. Mentally, emotionally, he was well. He was well. Have there ever been times that you were discouraged and you're driving down the road and maybe some great song comes on, some quartet singing, some good gospel music and things, and all of a sudden, by the time that you're getting out, you don't realize it, but somehow, some way, something took place, you feel better when you leave the car. That's because music has the power to go past our intellect and go straight to our heart. Go straight to our heart. We might have these burdens and all this kind of thing. That's why it's so difficult for preachers when we're teaching God's Word and preaching God's Word. Whereas someone gets up and they sing, and boy, they've got the hearts of the people. Because it's the power of music. It's the power of music. Music is for good. And the evil spirit departed from him. This meanness, this bitterness softened him. Softened him. And spiritually drew him back closer to the Lord. So music is for good. Number three, if you're jotting these down, music is for growth. Music is for growth. We just heard the young people quote Colossians 3:16. You can see it up there on the screen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Music can help us grow in the Lord. Folks, don't decide you're just going to stay in the spiritual nursery. Grow up in the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes in Christ. For ye are yet carnal. And just acting like babies. That was the church of Corinth that thought that they were super spiritual, all the spiritual gifts and all that kind of thing. He said, you're just a bunch of babies. That'd be awful. That'd be awful for the Holy Spirit to make that diagnosis in a church. Teaching and admonishing. Admonish means to put in mind, to caution or reprove gently. Isn't that the way the Lord speaks and directs? 1 Kings chapter 19, we read about Elijah. And Elijah was quitting, throwing in the towel. He said, I'm done with this. And we find that the Lord dealt with him gently. Gently. He should have smacked him upside the head, but he didn't. How many times did I deserve for God to smack me upside the head, but he didn't? He reproved me gently. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Okay, do you have these so far? By the way, this is a sermon in the key of G. Because all the words begins with G, okay? Music is from God. Music is for good. Music should be for growth. And next one, music must be guarded. Music must be guarded. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. Most of you know Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, but verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. As a youth pastor, I know that our Pastor Tim, he speaks on this subject a lot. As God directs him and brings it into the messages and all that kind of thing. When I was in youth ministry, I did that too. You know, Satan wants to get the hearts and the minds of young people when they're young. Moms and dads, you better know what your young people are listening to. Better know what they're watching. And if they've got a little device and they've got earbuds in their ears, don't think for one moment that all they're listening to is Amazing Grace. Okay? The kind of stuff that's coming across they don't even have to have CDs these days. I mean, it's all digital. It's all downloadable. They download it, you know, from their friends and things. And it's pornographic. It's rebellious. It's horrible. It's horrible. I work third shift on Saturday nights. Every other weekend. This is when I was in Bible college. And I'd work all night on Saturday night. And they would have playing over the speakers, the intercom system. They'd have rock music playing. And that was when there weren't all the different, you know, names. Rock, rap, metal, all the other stuff. And but it was definitely it was out there, and I had my aisle. I had to work and all that kind of thing. And I'll be honest with you. About 3:30 in the morning, it was back when we were pricing. You know, had my price gun and before pricing the stuff and loading the shelves. And I found something out. You see, I had never listened to rock music. I listened to Christian music. I was a teenager that wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to give my life to serve Him, and He called me to preach when I was in ninth grade, so I didn't listen to that. I'm not boasting. I thank God that I was in a home that supported that, and I would have gotten a whooping if I was listening to that kind of stuff. But when I was at the third shift, about 3:30 in the morning. You know they repeat songs? They repeat the hit songs? I didn't know that. And about 3:30 in the morning, I'd already heard this song 3 or 4 times. And I'm somewhat delirious. I'm tired. You know, I'm thinking, okay, just 2.5 more hours and I'm out of here. You know. And you know what I'm doing? I'm singing the song. I know the words. Never heard it before that night. And they repeat it. And by the way, it's not hard. There's just a few words to learn. And I'm singing along. And the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing? I didn't even realize it. I'm just singing along. There's a seductive power of where the music can go past the intellect, the reason, and go straight to the heart and appeals to the flesh. and all that kind of thing. If you don't think that worldly music appeals to the flesh, take an 18-month-old or a 2-year-old and watch them as some commercial comes on TV with wild music, and you know what's going to happen? Well, I'm not going to demonstrate it, but if you remember Elvis, they'll start it, and you'd have to teach them to do that. It appeals to the flesh. Music must be guarded. The message must be guarded. The music must be guarded. And we must be careful about the musician. The musician is just as important as the music and the message. Just as important. You know, as we come together for church, I want to be very, very careful as a pastor. Very, very careful. You see, we don't, some people are going to be upset with this, but if this is the line right here, that this is wrong music. Okay? This is wrong music right here. I do not want our church to be right there. I want us to be back over here with a safe boundary. You know why? Because our young people, they're going to say, well, that's where the church is, so I'm just going a little bit farther. That's somewhat of human nature. You know what I'm saying? And we want to abstain from all appearance of evil. And so I don't think it's wrong for us. And so very, very, very candidly, like the radio preacher just said, very candid, let me tell you something. If we have a guest come in here and they sing some songs that they're, you know, I hope that I would not have to get up and stop them. Okay. But I very well might do that. But if it's too, then I just won't have them back. I just won't have them back. Because we need to guard our music. Moms, dads, grandparents, let me step on your toes for a moment. What we tolerate, our young people will go into far extremes. The Bible calls it this. It says, sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Say, well, this is just fun stuff. You know, it's not bad. It's not really that bad and all that kind of thing. Well, let me ask you, what is good about it? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is good about it? Well, it's not that big of a deal. What kind of example are we setting for those that are following behind? The message, the music, the musician. Music does not just prepare us for another ministry. A lot of people think that music is just a preparation for the preaching of God's Word. I've heard that preached a lot of times. That music is just an on-ramp for the preaching of God's Word. Now this is the main event. Well, I agree that nothing takes the place of the preaching of God's Word. I agree with that. But I also believe that music is a ministry of the Word in and of itself. In and of itself. When we sing songs as a congregation, we are learning spiritual truth that hopefully some of you are going to go out. You've heard the choir open on Sunday nights with Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. I would hope that maybe someday you're in the shop working at home, guys. Maybe you might have... Maybe, ladies, you're washing dishes or you're doing something and you're humming some song that we sing as a congregation or something. Teaching God's Word. It's a ministry of the Word itself. We just touched on Ephesians 5:19, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are those? What are those? Psalms are words that are sung from the Bible. For instance, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. We could go on and on and on with songs that we sing. Choruses from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, I believe, verse 8 or 9. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. You know, it's taking from Scripture. Words, putting them to music, psalms. It's not just singing out of the Old Testament psalms. By the way, if you turn in the middle of the Bible, you find it's the book of Psalms. And so music should be at the center of our life as well. Psalms. And then hymns. Songs about who God is. How great thou art. You know, it's about who God is. Hymns. Jesus went out and sang a hymn. And they went into the garden. Spiritual songs are songs about what God has done. In our spiritual walk, the choir sang one of those, Consider Christ. So, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. So, where does the other music come into play? I mean, this is talking about a believer. This is not talking about church. This is talking about a believer's life. Preacher, you saying there shouldn't be any secular music in my life? Better make sure that that music is not of the world. Because, you see, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2, verse 15. Be careful. Be cautious. You see, when we were teenagers, were we slipping around, trying to get away with things that, you know, and now all of a sudden we're trying to act all the sanctimonious and all that kind of stuff? Our young people are on a precipice. And they're trying, this world is trying to get them to rebel against God, to rebel against their parents, to rebel against morality, to rebel against anything and everything. And at one point, some parent is going to stretch their head and they're going to say, what happened to my son? What happened to my daughter? I don't know how we went wrong. Well, I'm not sure. But it's possible that music may have had a part in it. It may have had a part in it. Music cannot appeal to the flesh without sacrificing the blessing of God's Spirit. There have been times, thank God it's not been here, but there have been times elsewhere when I sat on the platform getting ready to preach, and I came with the Spirit of God's anointing and with His message upon my heart, and then just walking and intimate close and the still small voice of God in my heart and all that kind of thing. And I sat there and somebody got up to sing a song, and it had wild accompaniment and all that kind of thing. And although some of the people and probably a lot of the people in the church were going, yeah, that's great. I love that thing. I love that. And I'm getting ready to preach, and I sense that the Lord was just grieved and moving off the scene. And I bow my head, oh, dear God, please don't leave. I need you. I need your filling. I need that. Lord, I pray, please, God. You say, does that really happen? Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. And so this thing of music being guarded in the church needs to be guarded. In our personal life, the person performing the music is as important as the music itself. The person performing the music. Listen, folks, if a person sings a song about Jesus and their life doesn't back it up, They write a song and they're unsaved, or they write a song and they're trying to just make money. They're a crossover artist or whatever the case may be. And on Friday night, they're singing in the bar. And on Sunday morning, they're singing in church. There's something wrong. That's good preaching, preachers. Amen. Anything God creates for good, Satan will counterfeit it and pervert it for evil. He's the father of lies. He's the father of lies. In music, you'll find that there are three parts. The melody carries the message, and so that message speaks to our spirit. Speaks to our spirit. The harmony, it beautifies the melody. You know, I like to hear someone sing a solo. I'll be honest with you. As much as I love to hear the solo, and I've sung solos, and different ones sing solos, and that's great. I also love to hear a duet or a trio or a quartet. I really do, because the harmony beautifies the message. Now, the harmony should not obscure the melody. The melody still is what carries, but we find that even harmonies are sometimes dominating now. But most commonly in our day and time, the rhythm, it really ministers to our physical body. My grandfather said this. He's talking about music in church. He said, you know, just because your toe taps doesn't mean necessarily it's a bad song. He said this, it's very wise. He said, what does it touch first, your heart or your toe? What's it touch first? And you got to have rhythm. God put a rhythm in you. It's called a heartbeat. If you don't have a rhythm, you die. And I'm thankful. The Bible says in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And list the instruments and all that kind of thing. Talk about cymbals and high-sounding cymbals. Do you hear the cymbals? You know, percussion is not necessarily bad. Listen, please. Billy Joel can take this concert grand piano and bring some ungodly stuff out of here. Or my wife or some of these other wonderful pianists can play and bring something. It's not the instrument. It's not the instrument. It's how the instrument is used. It's not your. It's not that you've got a bad voice. It's what you're singing about. It's important. If you're walking along and doing like some cars do, have you ever been driving along, pull up to a stoplight, and your windows start shaking? And you're looking around. My wife and I would look around and say, okay, who is it? Who is it? We need to get away from them. Which car is it? Which car is it? We looked around. That rhythm. Now, we have to have rhythm. But if you see somebody pulsating, boom, 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 get them to a hospital. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Rhythm is subdued. Harmony is on top of that. And melody is supreme. Melody carries the message of the truth. Okay? That's just some good stuff there. Ungodly music can knock out a sold out Christian. Back to my illustration. Third shift. After a couple of months, I saw a pattern in my life for the band. A pattern in my life. Now, I was trying to serve God. I was in Bible college. I was having devotions and all that kind of thing. But you know what? The weeks that I would come off of the third shift listening to the rock music, and I didn't have a choice in the matter, it was just everywhere. Those weeks, I struggled to have my devotions. Those weeks, I struggled about victory over sin in my life. And it seemed like the weeks that I didn't, and it took a while for me to kind of see this pattern. And God convicted me of it, Herb. He convicted me of it. And so I went to my manager, and I told him about it. And I just was honest. They knew I was a Christian. They asked me all kinds of tough questions at break time. And I said, I don't want to offend you guys at all, but I've got a real problem. I told him, I said, everybody has the right to listen to what they want to. But man, you're making me listen to stuff that's hindering my walk with God. Is there any way possible? Most of these guys, when they come to work, they've got their jam boxes. Why not let them have their own music on their aisle? But instead of just sticking the intercom handset on the register and putting somebody's jam box there and going, oh, all over back room and everywhere. I can't get away from it. How about you just, you know, let people listen to what they want? I made a humble appeal. Brother Craig, he said, okay. He said, guys, here's what we're going to do. And he told them, I can't believe it. And I had my music and I stuck it in my ears, you know, and things. And I didn't hear anything. It was a great victory. But you see, That music that was penetrating into my being was having an effect on me. It was passing by the filter that said, no, this is wrong. And it was going right to my heart, says, this feels good. And by the way, there is pleasure in sin for a season. There is. So music is from God. Music is for good. Music should be for growth. Music should be guarded. Music should be guarded. And by the way, on that message, jot down this verse. This will be a good verse to look up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. It says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Folks, if you can't understand, you can't understand what they're singing, where's the understanding? Teaching and admonishing one another. Well, it's just the culture of the day, and we just need to just let them do, you know, No, it needs to measure up with God's Word. It needs to measure up with that. If this is our guide, we need to follow Him. And music's important. It's important because music last will be in glory. It'll be in glory. That's our last G. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3. If you want to jot that one down, also chapter 5 and verse 9. I'll read that for you. Chapter 5 and verse 9, Revelation. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's the lyrics of one of the songs that we're going to sing. It's great. I hadn't really thought about this till now, but I'm going to go ahead and learn those lyrics. I want to be ready because God gave us what part of what we're going to sing up there. We can sing. Preachers will be out of a job in heaven. We'll be out of a job. Doctors will be out of a job. Pharmacists will be out of a job. Funeral directors will be out of a job. But singers are employed for eternity. So, let me ask you, why not ask the Lord, would you please? Lord, is there anything right with the music that I listen to? Is there anything right about it? Does it help me draw closer to you? Don't ask the question, is there anything wrong with my music? Ask Him, is there anything right with it? It's a much easier answer to get from the Lord. I tell this to teenagers. I tell them, I say, if you're really, truly wanting to know if the music that you love, if it's okay for your spiritual growth, then do this. Put your music on and have your devotions while the music's playing. And read the Word of God. Read it for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then the next day, read the Word of God with unquestionably godly music. Unquestionably godly music for about 10 or 15 minutes. And if you know the Lord is your Savior, if there's anything hindering in the music that you love, the Holy Spirit will gently tell you. He'll gently rebuke you. And if you're really wanting God's best for your life, you'll say, okay, Lord, it's what I want to know. I was telling that to a teenage girl. And because she came up and she said, well, what about so-and-so? What about this artist and this kind of music? And I told her exactly what I just said. I said, will you do that? She said, there's no need. I said, what do you mean? I know already. So I don't know what God is perhaps trying to clean up some things in our life. We're getting ready for a revival meeting. We're getting ready for a Christmas crusade for souls, Journey Through Christmas. And perhaps you need to say, you know what, there's nothing I can find on the radio. Well, a lot of you got one of those. Get you some good music on Spotify or something. I don't know. When people come through and singers and that kind of thing, and they're our kind of good godly music, then spend $10 and buy a CD. Take it home. Take that singer home with you. I encourage you. I beg of you. I implore. Because you see, you won't even realize the music will go right past your Christian filter and go right to your heart and to your body, and it'll feel good for a little while. It'll numb you for a little while. When the Holy Spirit is saying, you're getting drunk on music, huh? You're not drinking alcohol, but you're getting drunk on music instead of following me. All right, well, I'll just back off. All right. And then, when some emergency takes place, ah! God! Where are you? Where'd you go? Lord, oh, there you are! What are you doing over here? Lord, will you speak to me? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. We've grieved Him, and grieved Him, and grieved Him, and grieved Him. And we have to repent. We have to go through all this process. Or, let's say that we're trying our best. We stumble and fall sometimes. We're trying our best to follow Him. And we're communing with Him. We're talking with Him. Just like He's our best friend. You know? And then something happens. Ah! We say, Lord! And He says, do this, do that. He's right there. He's right there. Don't have to look for Him. Which one do you want? I want Him right here. I don't want to grieve Him. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You want the very best for our life. Lord, I pray that this one area that Satan uses in all ages. Oh, yes, he's targeting young people. But dear Lord, I know that young people are following sometimes poor examples that are set before them. And I ask You, dear God, that we'll have a humble heart and say, Lord, even my music, if it means that things that I enjoy and things that put a smile on my face and things that are a little bit naughty and a little bit this and a little bit that, not too awful bad. And Lord, that I'll just put it in the trash can and replace it with good, godly music in my car, in my house, in my life. Lord, may there be great victory that comes that will bless Your holy name in Jesus' name.